Our Sunday morning series that we started all the way back in January for us here at South. I finished last week in the AM services with our mindset series. And so we want to continue on and finish tonight the Christian mindset of initiative, looking at the mindset of integrity. We want to finish this. This will be the conclusion of the entire series in and of itself. This morning preached a different message, and it's been a long ride. It's been a long journey. We started, like I said, the first Sunday of January in this year, and we're concluding now. Here we are in November, the second Sunday, I believe it is, of November. And so tonight we want to go ahead and finish off this Christian mindset of initiative, looking, if you will, at the definition just one more time. So if you look at initiative and what it is, it's defined as the ability to assess and initiate things independently. The use of initiative, we speak about imagination, common sense. But my favorite one, my favorite definition, is the power or opportunity to act or take charge before others do. And that really is what initiative is. Initiative is that power. It's to make that opportunity to act before others do. And I'm going to say it like this even. It's the ability to take that initiative, to take that power, to take that opportunity to take charge before someone asks you to do it. Simple as that. Little things come to mind when you speak of initiative. When you walk by and you're in the house and you see maybe a wrapper or a leaf or something that doesn't belong there on the floor, you know, rather than walking by and looking at it and say, well, that really doesn't go there, and just carry on with your business, bend down, pick it up, throw it in the rubbish bin, right? Those things, and those are small, minute little ideas and things that we can do to begin to develop that mindset of initiative, to develop the idea of taking charge before other people do, taking charge to do things before you're asked to do them. So we looked at initiative. That was the overall topic in this final installment, which I believe is greatly missed in today's society. I believe it's all but a lost element in the generation coming up. But we need to step it up within the mindset of initiative. And I think the ingredient inside the mindset of initiative is to have that of integrity. That's what we're speaking of tonight, and that's where our final installment falls. Integrity is defined as the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. Now, you think about it, if you will, tonight, when you think about having strong moral principles, about having that ingredient of honesty in your life, when you begin to look at your days and look at your life, when you have integrity, you'll develop initiative. But when you have initiative, you'll end up having some type of integrity. You say, well, that's kind of a circle. It's kind of silly talk. We need to understand, guys, that having those things, they are a learned behavior. They're learned actions. They're things that you develop. It's not something that you're necessarily born with. Now, we've seen some people be a little more predisposed to the idea of having initiative in their life, and maybe they developed that as a young person. Maybe there was a characteristic that they inherited from their parents. But the behavior of integrity and the behavior of initiative, guys, is something that is learned. So over the last time we preached on this subject, guys, we confirmed that all behavior is learned. And if it's learned, therefore it can be changed. Actions and habits in our life can be changed, they can be enhanced, and they can be developed. So in order to have the mindset of initiative and the character of integrity, our behavior must change. And in our last sermon, we addressed a few things. What we addressed in our last message was what needed to be changed, which was our mind. Our mind needed to be changed. Our motives need to be changed, and our manners need to be changed. Today, for our last point, our last topic within this entire series, I want to focus on the how. How are we going to change them? How do we change these things? And how do we change those three things in our life, thus changing our mindset to affect our actions and our behavior in society to better represent the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of the day? Beloved, can I say this to you here this evening? It's all going to begin with our outlook, how we look on things. How we view something. How are we looking at our life? How are we looking at our lives and our outlook around us? How are we looking at our circumstances, our situations, and where we are? Let me ask you this question. I was talking to someone this morning, and I asked this question to them. Are you enduring life, or are you enjoying life? Now, as a young person, you know, we have some young people in here, and I know for me, when I was a teenager, the only age that I ever really and truly looked forward to? 16. Why does a person that lives in the States, why do they look forward to the age of 16? Somebody tell me.
You get to drive, man. You want to. That's it. I didn't care about 18. I didn't care about 21. Sure didn't care about 40. I'm just telling you right now, I looked forward to being 16 years old. That was the golden ticket for me because I wanted to be able to drive. That's it. And as strange as it may sound, you have people that look forward to these milestones of ages in their life. But this is what happens. You're a 12-year-old. All you're looking forward to, I want to be 16 years old. Man, you're looking forward to it. You're looking forward to it. The years go by. Guess what? 16 comes. And then all of a sudden, you redirect your attention. Now you're looking at 18. Oh, I can't wait to be 18. Can't wait to be 18. And then 18 comes. And all of a sudden, hey, can't wait to be 21. Can't wait to be 21. Can't wait to be 20. Either one of those ages. And then come, and then boom, you hit it. And then you start looking toward another age and another year and another time. And that's what you're just focusing on. And then eventually it's like, oh man, I don't want to be 50. You're dreading those times now. You're looking back saying, oh, I wish I was 40. Do you know what you've missed the entire time? You've missed enjoying the moment that you're living in. You're missing the days and the life that you have now because you're so focused on what may happen 10 years from now, 5 years from now, for that matter, 1 week from now. Guys, we have to in our life to stop enduring the moment and looking so far out in the future and enjoy in the days and the age that we live in right now. I've shared this with my children. They're missionary kids. They come from another nation. And there's a tendency when kids come to another land, you know, they're looking back, well, man, when I get such and such age, you know, when I graduate high school, you know, I'm going back to the States. And you get a fixation in your head as if the States is a fix-all in their life. And I got news for you. It's not. Nowhere is a fix-all. You're not guaranteed anything here in the United Kingdom, in Germany, all throughout Europe, in Asia, or America. You're not guaranteed jack when it comes to that. Do you understand that here this evening? So we got to have our outlook addressed correctly. And that's how the mindset of integrity comes into play in our life today. It's not our outlook and how we see things. We look at our calling. God has put a calling on your heart. If you're here tonight and you're saved and you're born again of the blood of Christ, whether you like it or whether you want it, you have a calling in your life. We heard a testimony just earlier here that out of all the places in a building they were in, this particular lady was looking for a church and just moved to the area, and she just happened to sit next to that particular person. Amen? God had to order that, so she gave her the address to her church and gave her a phone number, reach out and trying to help her out. Guys, those little things are opportunities to be a witness for the Lord. And God is going to bring people into your life. But it's our duty to enjoy the moment that we're in, exercise within that minute that God has given us, and then go and exalt the name of Jesus Christ in the midst of that moment and quit looking 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road when something may or may not happen in our life. So your outlook is what is going to change your behavior. Your outlook is going to be the how you address the what and making the needed changes in your behavior within the mindset of initiative, allowing the character of integrity to be present. So guys, when you look at what the Lord has called you to do, when you look at that, what do you feel like it is? Is it a burden? Is it a weight that you're carrying around? Do you see it as a trial? Or when you see the open doors that God has placed in your life, are you willing to go through them, walk forward? Are you ready to run diligently and get over there and take charge? Take the initiative of being honest and having strong moral principles? It may seem odd to you, guys. It may seem odd to you that within this mindset, that you may think that the mindset that I'm speaking of right now should be a class that I would hold for pastors or missionaries or evangelists or somebody along that line, or preachers in general. But guys, it's not reserved. This mindset that I'm speaking of tonight is not reserved for pastors only, or preachers only, or evangelists or missionaries only, but every born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, this is what we need to understand. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we know the verse. I've used it many times. For you see your calling brethren. He doesn't say for you see your calling pastors, or you see your calling evangelists, you see your calling missionaries or church planters. He says for you see your calling brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that which are mighty. And base things of the world, which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Beloved, if you're a child of God tonight and you're born again of the blood of Christ, He has given you a call and a directive in your life to have an outlook on the moment that He's given you, to address the mindset of initiative and having and possessing the character of an integrity. So when you think of the Christian life, what comes to mind? When you think of Christian service, who comes to mind? When you think of Christian growth, how does it come to mind? Beloved, the old hymn reads like this, says, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." Now, guys, I understand that's true, that this world is not our home. I understand this world, we are just passing through. But so often, many a times, Christians in the world today get looking beyond the moment they're living in, and they forget the purpose of the present. Pastors begin to look at the next church. Evangelists begin to look at the next meeting. Missionaries begin to look at the next term, or when they go home, per se. And church members begin to look at the next week or the next week, the next event. My friend, your home must be in the moment. That's where your home must be. You always heard this saying, your home is where your heart is. Amen? And it should really and truly should be that way. Your home should be in the moment where you are living right now. Your home should be in the country right where you are. Your home should be in the hour in which the Lord has given you. Your home should be what is right now, right here and today, not what may or may not be tomorrow. So the ultimately, the how of having the mindset of initiative and the character of integrity is going to be your outlook of where you are, your outlook of what you are, your outlook of whose you are. If you're going to have the mindset of initiative and the life of integrity, you must sink your heels into the stirrups and you place your heart into the grind and move forward one direction for the Lord Jesus Christ. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, very familiar passage of Scripture. We read it already this evening for our evening reading. As you know, we have changed from the reading of the Psalms and Proverbs into the reading of our text today for our sermon. But Hebrews chapter 12, and looking in verse 1, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Beloved, in this Christian life, the Christian life that we live in, the Christian life that we signed on to on the night or day or moment you got saved, is a race to be ran. It's not a sprint, but it's a marathon. Sprinters train for a particular event, the particular event they compete in, whether it's a 100 meter, 200 meter, 400 meter dash, whatever it may be. Their bodies are built differently. They're built for quick bursts of energy and quick bursts of speed and then stop, okay? Their muscles are given of God. We call them fast twitch muscles. In construction, that's what they are. And their development is to win the sprint. And that's what it does. When it comes to training, they train for the event that they're running in. The same is true for a marathon. But the runner's hearts, their lungs, their legs are all constructed for endurance and conservation. It's considered to be slow twitch muscle fibers, which allow for longer runs and lesser exertion of energy during that run. A continual movement of the body working together to forward the runner to the finish line. But they're built to run the long test, to run the long line. And there's a grave difference between the two. And by all means, guys, there is a difference between the two races. We as believers in Christ are placed into this world to run a race as a marathon, not as a sprint. We're looking under the finish line of our faith and where the Lord Jesus Christ, who is already there, it is sat down at the right hand of the throne of the Father. And this is where integrity plays such a grave role, guys. Integrity plays such a vital role that if you're going to run an honest race, having strong morals and principles, this is where it's going to be. Running your race honestly. No runner in the world is going to look back. No runner in the world is going to keep their head on a swivel during a race. They're going to focus forward, heading toward the finish line. So in order to run this race, guys, in order to have this outlook like you should have in the Christian life,
There's first things that we must apply into our life. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians with me real quick, the book of Philippians. I know it seems like we've been in Philippians and Hebrews and Acts so much in the past month or so, given our Bible studies. The first thing we need to do when we get to look at our outlook, this Christian race, we need to understand that we must press, guys. We must press. Philippians chapter 3, looking at verse 13, the Bible says here, in Philippians 3, verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus." Now that word press, guys, comes from a Greek word, dioko is what it is. It means to pursue or to flee. And Paul said, "This one thing I do." So many of us today are carrying unneeded weights. We're holding on to the back. Excessive weights in our heart and in our mind that our spirit is troubled every single day by something that once was or once could be. We're carrying these things, guys, that we really should not be carrying. We're holding on to things and we're looking back. And the only things that it's doing is it hinders us in what we're trying to accomplish right now. I remember, I told this story last week, I'll tell it again, but I remember my granddad, we was out in the garden on my grandparents' farm in Alabama, and he had a plow, a single blade plow with a mule hooked to it, and I'm not that old. We had a tractor too, amen, he did, but he was out there plowing with that mule, and he started teaching me things. He said, "Billy, here's the deal." You know, he said, he didn't say the deal, but he says, "You know, when you plow and you gee and you ha, you're giving the directions of that mule." He goes, "The last thing you ever want to do is you ever want to look back. You ever want to look back?" I said, "Yes, sir, yes, sir." And he goes, "Yeah, you just want to go forward. Keep moving forward." He goes, "If you look back or you're looking around, your roads are going to be crooked." And now I tell you what, that was some chimney corn scriptures what that was, because the Lord Jesus Christ says, "No man ever having laid his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." And but there's a lot of truth in that, guys. When you're running a race, you can't run a race today and have your head on a swivel and look around at what's going on around in life. You can't be looking behind you. You're going to trip, you're going to fall, you're going to get hurt. It's going to hinder you in your life. So what if someone wronged you 10 years ago? So what if somebody did you wrong 2 years ago? So what if you worked real hard in the church 6 years ago? Listen, guys, that's great. That's wonderful what you once did. But here's the deal. What are you doing right now for the Lord? That's what we're looking for. That's what looks forward, a mindset of initiative. Guys, I got news. We're never going to do enough in this life to say, "You know what? I'm done. I'm doing it." Hey, listen, our abilities may change. I mean, there's going to come a day where we're not going to be able to do all the physical things that we can do right now. That's why it's so important that we do as much physically now than we can do, because there's going to come a time we're not going to be able to do that physically, but we can still pray mentally, spiritually, we can support, and we can do all those things. But we need to wonder, in the Christian life, guys, we need to press. We must pursue. We must flee. Take advantage of what is before us now, and stop looking around at what may or may not happen. Stop looking around at what has happened in the past. We need to flee the past by laying aside the weight and the sin that's easily besetting us, easily hindering us in this Christian life. The burden of the sin in past, guys, is too hard to carry. You're not going to be able to carry it in your life. Jesus Christ is coming to me, "All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," he said. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, guys, we talk about we would go before and present the ministry to churches in the States, we talk about, you know, we've got a burden for lost souls. I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, a burden for lost souls is not a reason to uproot your family and move to another country, period. Just because you should have a burden for lost souls no matter where you are. I got a burden for lost souls in India. I have a burden for lost souls in South America. I have a burden for lost souls in America and in Canada and Germany. Okay, I got a burden for lost souls everywhere there is living breath. I'm not called there. God called me and placed my heart right here. And that's where my home is. So I'm trying to tell you guys that the Christian life, yes, there is a burden for lost souls, but the ministry that God has called us into, He is in this with us, amen.
And he shouldn't. The Christianity should not be a time of just utter misery and sorrow. We read John 15 yesterday and this morning, right? And the Lord Jesus Christ has said that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be, what's that last word? Full. There's something about joy. It may not be happiness all the time. There's something about joy that keeps us focused where we need to be focused. And that's on the finish line where Jesus Christ sits. Turn your Bibles back one book there to the book of Ephesians with me real quick. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians in chapter 4. Ephesians 4, look down in verse 17. The Apostle Paul writes back to the church, and he says here in verse 17, he says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Beloved, when you focus on the future, when you are pressing toward that mark, you're putting off the old man. If you're trying to put that old man back on, if you're trying to live it by those old ways and those old rules and that old mentality, and living according to the flesh and living according to greediness and lasciviousness and uncleanliness and all of this, having that old nature wrapped around you, all it's going to do, guys, is hinder your walk. You know, one of the first traits of the old man is dead weight. Paul says in Romans 6:6, "Knowing this, that that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin." Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ, yet I live, and yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." The more you look at what you used to be, or what may be, the heavier that weight becomes. Quicker you sink your heels into the moment, integrity begins to become your passion, and it enables you to move forward with a mindset of initiative. Beloved, it doesn't matter how it used to be. It doesn't matter how another church did something, good or bad for that matter. If all you have is what used to be or how it was or how it may be or what it could be, we'll become people that are most miserable on earth. Much like a man who has the riches of the world locked in a safe, yet never spending a dime. Just miserable. I will encourage you this about the old ways. Old ways will always dig up old wounds. One thing I love about my wife is she's got a very short memory. You know, I'll bring it up to her. I was like, "Man, you remember back when we did this?" She's like, "No. I don't." I can't hardly forget anything. And I remember I asked her something yesterday. I said, "Do you remember where we had that conversation?" She says, "Nope, I don't. But we had it. Amen. It was a good one. We had fun." And I'm saying that to say this. I pick on her about having a short memory. I do. I make fun of her, and it's all a joke. But I'll tell you what, in the Christian life, it doesn't hurt sometimes. Have a short memory. Forget those things of how it used to be. And you know what? For that matter, forget what it may be in the future. Just press toward that mark. Just press toward that mark of that life of integrity. Press toward that character of integrity and press toward that life with initiative. Secondly, we see tonight that we need to press with patience. We need to press with patience. This is the hard one. Patience is we say patience is a virtue. Patience is sometimes a target often missed. Jesus Christ says, in your patience possess ye your souls. In your patience possess ye your souls. Beloved, this race that we're running again, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Each day we wake up and there's a new slate that begins, a point of continuance that we ourselves are responsible for. It's a race that has to be run with honesty and truthfulness. A race that must be ran, guys, with integrity, taking the initiative to pull the pin every single day. And you know what that means? That means sometimes there's some days that you just don't want to do it. You say, whoa, hang on, preacher, you mean to tell me that there's days that you get up in the morning and you're like, man, I don't want to be that man today. Yeah, I'm human. There's days that you're like that. But it's those days that you do it anyway. It's those days that you allow patience to come into your life so that you're that mindset of integrity, that mindset of influence, that mindset to be involved, all comes together in our life. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11, and listen carefully to this verse. He says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not for the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. You know what that is, guys? That's patience. That's continuing in that race, pressing toward that mark with patience in this life, and allowing the Lord to continue to build what He needs in our life. Patience. So, beloved, if we get into this race that we're in and we see the Lord Jesus Christ afar off, we see Him at the finish line, we're understanding that it's a marathon, and we understand that we got to run this race with honesty. That is the mindset of integrity. We got to run this race in the magnitude that God has commanded us to do so. And that means we've got to take the initiative, pull the pin, and get out there and run the race. Why are we running it? We're pressing to run the race. We're running it with patience. But guys, we're running for the prize. We're running for the prize tonight. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bible one last time tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul uses several sporting and athletic associations with his writings and his preaching. Sports was a big thing in the Gentile world, as it still is today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and looking in verse 24... 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 24, Paul writes by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God here and says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. My friend, you know what we need to do? We need to simply run the race set before us. But we need to run that race with intentional purposes. We need to run that race with initiative. We need to run that race with integrity. There's a prize at the end, beloved. It's a goal, per se. It's a beautiful example that we've already been given in our opening text this evening. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's already there. He's already there waiting for us to finish the race that He has placed us in. But it's up to us if we're going to run it with initiative. It's up to us if we're going to have the mindset of initiative and the character of integrity in the life that God has given us. It's up to us to stop looking around at the crowd, stop looking around at what they're doing and what that one's doing, stop looking around at what used to be, and for that matter, stop looking down at what could be, but looking straight ahead at the prize. Jesus Christ is a prize, and one day all the suffering, all the sacrifice, all the situations of this life will be over with, and it'll be worth it all. All the shame, all the pain, all the things that you may be enduring now, it'll be worth it. One day, living a life of integrity will be rewarded. One day, living a life full of initiative will be rewarded. So, beloved, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, because life is short enough the way it is. So let us run. Let us run looking beyond, not looking beyond the moments and the minutes of today's blessings and opportunities. Let us stop looking back. Let us stop looking around. Let us stop looking so far in the future at what may not even happen and enjoy what God has given us today. Let us serve the Lord
with a mindset of initiative, with the character of integrity in all our heart and all our soul. Will you bow your head tonight? Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here together this evening. I do pray and ask of you, Lord, to please help us and guide us by your loving hand of grace. Pray that you take that which has been said this evening and bless it to your holy name. Bless it to the hearts of everyone present. Pray whoever may hear this message, no matter where they are, I pray it be a blessing to their life. Father, my heart's desire tonight is this, that you make a difference in the lives of people tonight. That you make an eternal difference in their days. That you, Lord, may be lifted up on high. I ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope and pray tonight that the Lord has been good to you in the teaching and preaching of His Word.